On Sunday nights, we take a little bit of a different angle than we do Sunday morning. Right now, Sunday morning, we're going through the Gospel of Luke. We're almost toward the end. Today, we looked at the trial of Jesus, Jesus on trial part one, and we'll finish that, Jesus on trial part two, next Sunday. But Sunday night, our theme is, it starts with me. It starts with me. And we can, it's very easy to start to point the finger and say, man, if we could fix this, and if this was right, if we could change this about our world, then everything would be okay. When in reality, for the Christian, we need to take a deep, long, hard look in the mirror and say, okay, what do I need to do with my personal walk with Christ? What do I need to fix? What do I need to change? And knowing that it starts with us as believers. And so this evening, we're going to look at, it starts with me, feeding yourself. Feeding yourself. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. This is just kind of the theme verse for the message tonight. It says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Let me say that again. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, if he's not sharpening the saw, so to speak, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Father, as we open your word tonight, speak to us through your truth, and God will give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated this evening. Feeding yourself. Feeding yourself. Something that I have to get on my wife about quite often is that very thing. See, she makes a wonderful dinner. She makes my three children's plates. She makes my plate. Then, of course, she makes her plate last. She brings the food to the family. Sometimes, you know, even, well, pray, it's hot. Pray, eat when it's hot. My wife's, that's her thing. if we don't eat while it's hot, I think it's good. Hot, cold, warm, but respecting that she took the time to cook it, we're going to eat it when she wants us to eat it. And it's burning my mouth. I'm like, it's great. No, but she said, eat when it's hot. And so we'll pray. And then sometimes before she even sits down with her plate, you know, maybe one of the kids would say, hey, Mom, can I get some more of, you know, this, or can I get some more? And there are sometimes where I just have to say, Sierra, sit down, eat your food, you know, eat your food. And they just leave, you know, leave them alone. They're fine. They'll survive. But you need to eat for yourself. And I think this is a common hazard, especially for Christians. Sometimes we spend so much time feeding others that we forget to feed ourselves. Of course, we're talking spiritually. And Christians must feed themselves for personal growth. I love going to new restaurants and trying new things. We ate at a restaurant Friday night, a little kind of burger place, and I got something called the Fat Elvis Burger. I don't know if it got any Elvis fans or not, but some of the things that he was, I guess, you know, that he enjoyed. But it's a burger with cheddar cheese, bacon, mayo. Some of you, I got you so far, you're there. Peanut butter. I lost some of you right there. And a caramelized bananas. And I thought, you know, that sounds good. I wanted to. Would anybody be interested in trying something like that? Nobody. All right. Well, I tried it, and it wasn't bad. Now, I wouldn't probably order it again, but it wasn't bad. But I like trying new stuff, and sometimes we get new restaurants here in town, and it's just kind of exciting. You want to go try it and see how it is. And I want you to imagine with me that they opened up a brand new restaurant right downtown, and it was popular. I mean, it opens up, and you go to it, and you love the food. And you think, you know what, I'm going to go back tomorrow night. And you go again. Then the next week you think, we got to get that place again. And you go again. And everyone starts visiting this restaurant. It takes off. Crowds start gathering. Word gets out that this place is just amazing. The guy, the owner, is just so tremendous. And man, he's a wonderful, he's got the right cooks and the chefs in there. And everything is going great. And you notice something, though, that it seems like he doesn't have the help he needs. And so he's busy going back and forth and meeting the requests of the people, and he's trying to serve all the customers himself. And again, he's scurrying around and he's becoming burnt out. And you notice as you watch him for a few weeks that you see a change as you go back again and again, that he's sort of getting thin, very thin. You think, I wonder what's going on. And it's almost like he's shriveling up and you wonder, why is this happening? But then one day you go there and you observe him for a few hours, then a few more hours. And you notice something. The problem is so obvious. He never stops to eat. And how ironic. He is busy serving others food every single day, but he never stops long enough to feed himself. And with all this food around him, he's starving. Sound familiar? So many Christians fail to feed themselves. And eventually, they're unable to serve anybody. What happens is they're starving intellectually, they're starving emotionally, they're starving spiritually. And you can fake it for a while, but pretty soon, you're going to run out of gas. Eventually, when you spend and spend and spend, the bank account is going to hit zero. And you are going to be burnt out. The well is going to run dry. Often, when Christians do this, they read their Bible, but oftentimes they read it for someone else. If you understand what I mean by that. Meaning, they consume information for others, but there's no personal growth. I found myself in this trap early on in full-time ministry, where I was reading and studying more than I ever had in my life. But it was all based on the premise that I'm going to take this information and just go teach it to somebody else. And I'd read and read and think, oh, this would be great for the teens. And, oh, I'd love to teach this in Sunday school. And this would be great in children's ministry. And my thought the entire time was, I'd love to use this and tell someone else about it. And you find this problem especially among pastors. And it wasn't until I went to a preacher's meeting and I heard a preacher get up, the speaker got up and he said, when's the last time you read the Bible completely for yourself? Just for yourself. And then it hit me square between the eyes. Because that's the opposite of what I was doing. I was reading it, consuming it for others. And pastors, and especially people in ministry, find themselves in this trap. They're always preparing a Bible study for someone. They're always preparing a message for others. And then they neglect to digest the content and apply it to their own lives. Their talk is great, but their walk becomes fake. They're going through the motions. It's almost as if they're taking it in, it's going in their brain and going right out of their mouth. They're just regurgitating what they have. But they're never allowing the truth of God's word to go down into their heart and to take root. It's just going in here and then going out of here. And they are, in essence, spiritually starving. They're so close to food and yet never eating. I don't know who said it, but I believe them when they said, to be much for God, you must be much with God. You have to have your personal relationship and your personal devotion time. So my challenge for you is to eat. Go ahead and eat. Have a buffet for all you want, right? And some people have been on a spiritual diet for way too long. And for some reason, they're spiritually dieting. And you'd be amazed how many times this book is compared to food. And yet, when you open it up and you find these verses, it's not an odd comparison. The Word of God is considered our spiritual food. Watch in 1 Peter 2, in verse number 2, notice what the Word of God says. As newborn babes, watch this, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. At the moment you receive Jesus, you become a newborn babe in Christ. It's obvious, isn't it? That just like a newborn baby requires milk for nourishment and for growth, newborn Christians require the milk of God's word for nourishment and for growth. But notice something. As the baby grows, their diet changes, doesn't it? Now, at first, somebody asked me the other day, they said, when did your kids, how old were your kids when they started holding their own bottle and then eating baby food? And I said, look, that's a mama question right there. And daddy don't do dates. And I mean, Sierra could tell you, I mean, the day, the time, what she ate for breakfast that morning, what I was wearing. And I'm like, it's 7 months to 2 years, kind of in that range, you know. I know this, that as they got older, their diet changed. At one point, I was holding the bottle, and then they were holding the bottle. And then I was holding the spoon, and then they were, watch out, holding the spoon, right? And now they're holding forks even, and mama still cuts it up for them, but there's a change in the diet. And you move from the milk to the mashed stuff, and then you make your own baby food because that's cool and organic, and then you move to the more solid stuff, and then every once in a while dad will slip them a little something here or something there and see how it goes. And as the baby grows, the diet changes. Now, with that in mind, notice how the writer of Hebrews admonishes the Christians in Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Notice what he says. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Let me pause there for a second. He's saying at some point in your Christian life, he said, y'all are at the point where you should be the teachers. And yet you still need a teacher. And friend, in every Christian's life, whether I'm not talking in a formal Sunday school setting or even a devotion time and a men's prayer breakfast, but at some point in every believer's life, we should go from the student to the teacher, in essence. That we should be teaching others and not staying in that constant state where we're oblivious unless somebody tells us what it means, right? It's a stage of growth. But it says this. Here's the comparison. Here's the illustration. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He said, you're no longer babes in Christ, but you're still desiring milk instead of the meat of the word. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Look, there's nothing wrong with a baby being a baby, right? It's what they are. They can't help it. But at some point in time, they need to come off the bottle, right? You need to take them off. And that may be different for different newborn Christians, but at the same time, there needs to be a transition. Look at verse 14 now. It says, but strong meat. I like that. Strong meat. I had a big old steak the other day, man, and I could barely finish it. It was so much steak. That's surprising to you, but strong meat. Notice this. The meat of the word says, belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see what the writer of Hebrews is saying? He's calling them out. He says, look, you're at a point in time where you should be off the bottle. And that doesn't mean you're going to know as much as the Sunday school teacher or as the preacher, as the missionary. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there should be growth in your Christian life. And if there hasn't been, and friend, that's a starts with me issue, right? Paul, he saw the same thing with the Corinthian believers. They hadn't grown in their faith. And so he tells them, that I can only give you the milk, because you're not ready for solid food. He says, I want to give you something deeper, but I can't because you haven't grown like you should have grown. So I have to stick with the milk. Just like you need physical food for physical strength, friend, you need spiritual food for spiritual strength. And we have some anemic Christians because they have just been drinking milk. And they're at the point in their Christian life where they spiritually need more than just milk. The Bible describes itself as the water, milk, bread, meat for our spiritual lives. It's everything you need for sustenance. You're not going to have much success in winning the spiritual battles if you're starving yourself to death. You imagine a soldier going off to war, hadn't had a meal in months? I don't think they would be very, I don't think they'd be very prepared for battle. That's why we need to feed ourselves on the Word of God. Let me give you two scenarios. On the one hand, you have a Christian, burnout. They're at the point where they have no drive to serve in a church. They have maybe even a bitter attitude. They grow impatient and lash out. And then compared to another Christian who juggles work and family and church, serving, friends, hobbies, all with a good attitude, genuinely happy, and what's the difference? I'd say one is probably feeding themselves and the other one is not. They're not. And sometimes you may get like that dry sponge where you just squeeze and squeeze and squeeze and eventually you're all shriveled up because you're not pouring anything else back into your spiritual life. Burnout happens often in ministry and with Christians. Probably one of the best examples in Scripture. Let me give you a few examples here. It comes from 1 Kings 19. It's a prophet whose name is Elijah. 1 Kings 19, and in verse number 1, it says this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto them and unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. This is Elijah now. And when he saw that, he arose, went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself, on a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself, notice, that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. You think Elijah was a little burnout? Yeah. He just had one of the greatest spiritual victories in probably all the Old Testament. Elijah in the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Man, that I used to love teaching that story to kids. I still love teaching that story today. But on that mountaintop, literal mountaintop experience, it is followed by probably the darkest and deepest valley of Elijah's entire life. He was physically exhausted. He was emotionally drained. And he was spiritually drained as well. And to make matters worse, here's what Elijah did, which just FYI, this is a bad idea if you're burnt out. He isolated himself socially from the people of the Lord. If you're burnt out, if you're in this place, friend, the last thing you want to do is isolate yourself from other Christians. As a matter of fact, as we talked about, it was on Wednesday, iron sharpeneth iron, right? And you want to get people, fire begets fire, who are going to light your fire in the Lord. Elijah isolates himself. He goes off alone. He leaves the servant and he says, he sits there under the juniper tree and says, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. Kill me, God. I've had all I can take. And he sits there waiting to die. Now, maybe your life hasn't been that extreme or to that point. But I'd say just about every believer in this room has faced some sort of burnout. Maybe you've been under the juniper tree is what I'm saying. You're at your wit's end. Elijah says, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm serving you, Lord. I'm the only one who's doing it. I'm all by myself. And sometimes we think that too, don't we? I think Satan likes to use that lie and he whispers in our ear when we're at or when we're under the juniper tree. You're the only one doing this. Why are you still doing it? And oftentimes you feel, well, I'm the only one who's burnt out. I'm the only one who's struggling. Nobody else is. Everybody else is just fine. Look at them. Don't you see them in church? Everybody's smiling. And they shake my hand. And their life must just be great, right? I think I'm the only one. And Eeyore, right? God reminded Elijah, you're not alone. He said, even if you were alone, you got me. Right? Look, if you're not currently serving in a place where you're feeding others, you could still be starving spiritually because you're not feeding yourself. Friend, Christians often stagnate because they aren't feeding themselves. So how do we eat? I told you, eat. How do you eat? Let me give you the buffet. Prayer, right? These are obvious. You know these. If I told you, well, where can you find food? Hey, there's this great place called Walmart, and there's a Kroger over here, and Dollar General, you could probably even find something there. And if you're bold, you can stop at this Speedway gas station, and they got hot dogs that have been sitting there for 3 weeks, and you could find it, right? How obvious is that? I say, hey, let me tell you something. I found out where to find food. You'd be like, we all know where to find. Christian, you know where to find spiritual food. I don't really need to tell you, but I will just to remind you. How about a buffet? Prayer. Spending time talking to the Lord. Fellowship. I told you, don't isolate yourself from other believers. Worship, coming and singing, right? Not only worship through song, though, but also through fellowship, through the study and reading of God's Word, through devotions. Friend, you know how to eat. I love what Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be, get this imagery, as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Friend, Christian, heat's coming, by the way. There's going to be a time in your life, every day of your life, where you are tempted by your own flesh. Satan and his powers of darkness are also going to tempt you, and the heat's coming, is what I'm saying. But notice, her leaf shall be green. It's not dried up. It's not all dried out. It's not shriveled up, friend. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I love that. That's a good verse. That verse will just preach on its own, right? That's another sermon I could just throw on top of it. You ever see like a spin-off movie where they get a real good movie and then they have a spin-off of that show? Well, that's what this is right here. Man, this will preach. It says that you're planted by the river and the roots, they spread out. When the heat comes, it says you still have the green leaves and you're still producing fruit. That means oftentimes when a Christian comes into that time of trial or trouble or whatever that time is, that dry spot that we're talking about here, you can still produce fruit as a believer, yielding to the Lord. Somebody said the only reason we don't have revival is that we're content not to. The only reason we don't have revival is because we're content not to. Eat, Christian. You know what to eat. The Word of God. Eat daily. Eat daily. The Old Testament has a story that we can learn from in regard to this discipline. It's from Exodus 16 and verse 21. It's the story of the manna that God provided for Israel. Exodus 16, 21 says this. And they gathered it every morning. And every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seed that you will see that you will seed, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. You say, well, what's this story all about? You've heard me teach on what the manna is, but God providing this manna means what is it? As they looked at it, they said, what's that? So I don't know. Let's call it that. That's a good name for it. And God making this, if you would call the bread from heaven, so to speak. He provided it for 40 years. God had a rule, though. They were not to gather more than they needed for that day. And if they did, it would rot and it would produce worms. And on the very last day of the week, which was preparing for the Sabbath, they would gather twice as much so that on the Sabbath day they wouldn't have to go out and work. And miraculously, God would allow that to remain overnight, and of course it wouldn't rot because God said so, right? During their time in the wilderness, God rains down this manna from heaven. The Israelites, they eat it. They get what they need for that day. If they try to gather more again, it would corrupt. It would rot. And here's really the lesson. They couldn't live off of yesterday's manna. That's what Warren Wiersbe said. As Christians, we cannot live off of yesterday's manna. We can have a good day with the Lord. You can have a good few days. Maybe you had a good day today. I hope you did. And you feel like you were spiritually energized and charged up and fed. You can have a good week even. But tomorrow, you got to eat again. And again, and again, and again. Preacher, that's a lot of work every day. I've never been upset a day in my life that I had to eat. You see what I'm saying? I got to eat food again today. Okay, what do we got? Elvis Burger. Never been upset that I had to eat. Christian, at some point in time, as you continue to feast on God's Word, you gain a taste for it. And you want more and more and more, and you look forward to the next day. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said, it's so wise to hide every single evening, to hide a remnant of God's Word in your heart so that when you wake in the morning, that remnant may still be there. But you can't live off yesterday's manna, church. What's the lesson that we can learn here? Friend, I've never forgotten to eat maybe but two times in my life. And even when I've put off eating, I didn't forget it. I just said, well, I can't eat. I have to do something. I don't know if I've ever forgot. Oh, I haven't eaten for 24 hours. Well, I forgot to read my Bible this week. Set a reminder. Set an alarm. Tell me. I'll call you. I'll text you. Did you eat today? What's the lesson? It may sound selfish, but friend, the way a Christian can truly grow first is they need to tend to their own growth. You got to be eating. Look again to that opening verse, Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. One more time. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. If you ever use a chainsaw or an axe, you know exactly what this verse is talking about. Back when I first got a chainsaw, I would use a chain until it was just a nub, you know what I mean? And I'm just young and just, oh, it's fine, you know, and I'd fire it up and I'd be cutting wood and sawdust flying everywhere. And then it get to a certain point where I felt that, listen, friend, if you have to push down on the chain, you know what I'm saying? Then your chain's dull, you know? And what happens is this, is that by not sharpening it, you're actually working harder than what you could be if you just sharpen the chain or break down, quit being cheap, and go buy another chain, right? And man, I was out it was a few winters ago, and I'm cutting and cutting and cutting, and I'm thinking, I'm sweating too much to be cutting all this wood, and it wasn't even hot out. And I'd been cutting and cutting, and I hadn't sharpened my chain. So I took a second. I stopped. What I was doing, sharpen the chain. And I went back at it, and surprise, surprise, it was a lot easier. And sometimes we pour out and we pour out and we get frustrated and we don't understand. It's we're working harder and we're seeing less results. Heard Pastor Tim Carter say that it's his goal to do less, pray more, and be better. I think that it's just as much of God's goal to do a work in you personally as it is to do through you. And we think, no, if he's not just doing a work through me, then he's not doing a work in me. Friend, he wants to work in your life personally. It starts with you. You got to be feeding yourself, all right? Would you stand with me tonight? And if you would, bow.